We have John Ho with Parks Realty Hospitality on Instagram in studio to tell you why, as a restaurant worker, you can buy a home. John?
Thank you, Brandon. There's three things that are fallacies when it comes to buying a home from the hospitality industry. Number one is that you need perfect credit. Number two is that you need tens of thousands of dollars for down payment. And number three is that you need 2 years of work history at the same place.
John, you're a restaurant veteran, been in the industry a long time. How do you, as a real estate agent, overcome those three myths?
The first thing we do is we pick a premier partner for lending, and that's Foundation Mortgage. They're going to be our first stop to get people pre-qualified in the hospitality industry. Number two, we understand that hospitality workers don't work 9 to 5s, so our phones are on 24 hours a day.
Amazing. So if I wanted to call you, how do I do it?
You can get me at my cell phone, shoot me a text, or give me a call. It's 615-483-0315, 615-483-0315, or Amanda Gardner at Foundation Mortgage, 865-230-1031, 865-230-1031.
Follow John on Instagram at Hospitality and follow Amanda on Instagram at Mortgage Amanda.
Welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio, the tastiest hour of talk in Music City. Now here's your host, Brandon Still.
Hello, Music City, and welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio. My name is Brandon Still, and I am your host. We are powered by Gordon Food Service, and we will be joined by our co-host, Caroline Galzin, the owner of Nikki's Coal Fired in the Nations. She'll be with us shortly as we are talking with Carter Ha. Carter is the grandson of the famous Phyla Ha of the Holland Hill. And he is an author, and he wrote the Holland Hill Cookbook, as well as he is the owner of Streetcar on Charlotte Pike. So we wanted to talk to him, learn about the cookbook. We wanted to learn about Streetcar, kind of the story behind it. And it is an amazing beer garden with some amazing food. He's smoking some great meats over there, doing really cool things. We're going to talk all about it today on the show. I tell you what, we were on a time frame during this episode, and we had like 35 minutes to talk. It was one of those episodes where everything kind of ran late in the day, and we had to get to it. I do not do well in those environments. And I will tell you, if you don't listen to the show a whole bunch or you're new to the show, we say in the intro that it's the tastiest hour of talk in Nashville. It's about an hour. You know, we bring people in. I have a clock in here that tells me how long we've been talking. We get to the hour point and I'm kind of like, hey, we should probably wrap it up because I'm going to be respectful of people's times. But I don't know how to do 30 minutes. I don't know how to do like, let's get everything in here. And it shows. I'm listening and I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that because there's so much to talk about. And you can't get into that natural flow when you're trying to do it quickly. So I loved the interview. I thought it was great. And I'm so excited to share it with you. I am fresh off of a trip back from a trip from Atlanta. We talk about Father's Day in this episode. And what I want to do for Father's Day this year, we've had lots of conversations about Father's Day. But what I did was I took my youngest son to Cincinnati and we went to a Reds game. We stayed, we went to the aquarium. It was really, really cool. And then we came back, we went on a family vacation. And then this past weekend, I went to Atlanta with my oldest son and we went to a Braves game and we went to the aquarium. And let me tell you, there's so much fun stuff to do in Atlanta. If you are looking for like a weekend trip, we went and stayed over there by like the CNN Center. We stayed at the Westin. We stayed on the 55th floor. It was incredible. And then just this past weekend, they had something called Look Up Atlanta. So we got to watch the huge fireworks show from the 55th floor window of our hotel. Incredible. So we were looking over the CNN building and the Omni there. We did the World of Coke. We did the aquarium. But you know what the thing that my son liked the most was? Riding elevators. He hates elevators, but we went up to the 72nd floor and they have a glass elevator. It goes all the way up. There's a restaurant at the top of the Westin, and riding the elevator up and down, he was scared to death. But every time he's like, I'm never doing this again. And then we would get done. We'd get back to the very bottom. We'd walk away. Like, he was like, hey, I think we should do that again. Can we do that again? And we went over to the Marriott Marquis, which is 47 stories, and the elevator inside is really cool. And that was like his favorite thing, riding elevators. We did go to the Braves game. We got really good seats from a friend of ours who works for the Braves. And we got to sit like right behind the dugout, which was incredible. We got a foul ball, and the bat boy threw us a ball. So both the kids got balls, which was really, really amazing. Big shout out to Peter for helping us out with that. That was just an amazing part of the trip. The whole thing in Atlanta was just so much fun. Highly recommend it. You can easily do it in a weekend from Nashville. So just want to say thanks for that. And if you follow me at Brandon NRR, you will see all of my stories. I've just been posting pictures of all this stuff throughout the week. Please feel free to go give a follow if you want to follow the shenanigans that we are up to. So that was my Father's Day. If you're wondering what we landed on, that's what we did. And I want to, today's going to be a fun thing. I've been dabbling with something. I want to do some more speaking engagements where I talk about some of the things I've learned and motivation. And I did this on LinkedIn. I posted this on LinkedIn a little while back, and I got some pretty good response from it. So I am going to give you a Monday motivation today with something that I call, I bought a Jeep. Which is something that I did. I have wanted a Jeep Wrangler since I sold my CJ5 when I was 17 years old. Well, at 43, I made that happen. And it's amazing. The car is like a transformer. I got one of those 4xEs. It's an electric Jeep, which is really, really cool. But you can take the doors off. You can take the top off. You can take the, there's like these two tops on the front. They're called a Freedom Top. You can take those off. And I've been playing with it, and it's been so much fun. And one day, I took the front doors off, and I took the Freedom Tops off, and I was driving into the studio, and it was really fun. And it wasn't until I got like past Green Hills, and I'm going over like 440 area on Hillsborough, and I need to switch lanes, and I realized like I can't see behind me. The side view mirrors are on the doors, which were in my garage. And the Freedom Tops were blocking the rear view mirror. So they were in the back sitting up and I couldn't see. And it like dawned on me. It hit me like really hard. Like we, like how much we look backwards in order to go forwards. And it was like this big aha moment. And I was like, whoa. And I just read the book, The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. It was one of the Brandon's book club selections. And I realized how important it is that our past experiences shape our future experiences, because we live in this comfort zone. We live in a world where we know pretty much at this age what's going to happen based upon, and that's how we make decisions. But there's also fears that we have. There's fears that we have. So we tend to not take chances. We tend to not get outside of our comfort zone, but that's where you sit and that's where you live. And that is how you do not grow. You don't grow unless you get outside your comfort zone. And that's this whole looking backwards to move forwards thing. And it just kind of hit me that you've got to try things. You've got to fail at stuff. If there's something out there that you're afraid of doing, and I know in our world, wine is one of those things. If you're a server, if you're somebody and you're like, I don't know much about wine and it's fine. I don't like wine. I don't want to get into it. But like, try it. Like, try to learn about it. Get in there. Some people are intimidated because it's so snooty or this or that. Like, but man, you don't know until you actually do it. And you have to start somewhere. You know, we're born in this world. We don't know how to do anything. And I think that we get to this point where we're like, well, I know enough to do things. But you've got to make, you've got to step outside that comfort zone. We all live in this little bubble. And you've got to expand that bubble. You've got to expand what you know and how you know to do it. And that is how you grow. So if you're feeling stagnant or you're afraid to do something, today is my way of saying step outside of your comfort zone. Do something that you hadn't planned or you don't think you know how to do. And don't be afraid to fail. Failing is how you know what you need to do next. And it's when you fail that now you can look forward going in life because of those failures. And that is so important. And that's the moment that I had. That's it. That's my motivation for today, is that you've got to look back to move forward. And if you're looking back all the time and you haven't challenged yourself enough, you haven't stepped outside your comfort zone, go do it. It's super important. And that is how you're going to grow. So there's a great book, Michael Easter's The Comfort Crisis. I highly recommend you go check it out if you haven't read it. But if you have read it, then you know what I'm talking about. And maybe you'll go and take that chance. Do that thing you're just kind of afraid to do. Whatever it is, get outside your comfort zone. Challenge yourself. Fail. It's okay. That is how we grow. All right. So with that being said, thank you for listening and to my TED Talk. But I do want to say next week we have an absolute full-length episode with Mr. Tandy Wilson. He is the owner of City House. He is a Nashville guy, and he is a James Beard Award-winning chef. So this is actually the cool thing about this interview with Tandy also is this is his first podcast. He's like a massively private dude and has his circle and he does his thing and he loves his restaurant and the people that come in there and he lives in his world. He's very humble. He doesn't want to come on and talk about all the things he's doing. But we got him in and man, did we ever have fun. We just chatted about all the things and I cannot wait to share this with you 1 week from today, the Tandy Wilson interview. Okay, that was a lot. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I think we should jump in right now with Carter Haugh. Super excited today to welcome in Carter Haugh. Is it pronounced ha?
It is ha, like ha ha.
Hi.
Ha, like ha ha.
Ha, 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 ha. Oh, not like that, but like Carter Haugh. Now you're the owner at Streetcar.
That's correct.
You're the author of a cookbook. You brought a copy. Where is it? Where did it go?
I did.
Where did it go? I was going to talk about it as we get going on here. This is the, now, I don't know how you say this.
So it's the Holland Hill cookbook.
The Holland Hill. How would you say that, Caroline?
So if I didn't know, it looks like you would pronounce it the Hatchland Hill. But it is Holland.
I bet you get that a lot, don't you?
I do, yeah. So my grandmother started it in the 50s, and so we've had about 80 years of mispronunciation.
All the time, I imagine. It's like, oh, Carter Hatch. Like, it's ha. Like, ha ha. Like, that's
always,
just a thing.
Do you always correct people, or are you just over it? You let people roll with the hatch?
I just let it go, and at Streetcar, we actually, our wings, a lot of people are saying are the best in town, and so I have hot is one of our wings. Everyone says hatched.
Oh, so you have H-A-C-H. Yeah, yeah. So the hot.
Even our servers are like, yeah, here are hatched wings.
Well, you know, it's the South.
Right.
And I used to work in a restaurant that had a kind of a south of the border salad. And it was a chicken salad. And it was the pollo salad, the P-O-L-L-O salad. That salad was not the pollo salad. That salad was the Paulo salad. And it did not matter.
Oh,
I'll have
yeah.
that Paulo salad. Like, it's pollo. It's a spit. Never mind. You just say Paulo. That's what it is.
I think that we all, though, anyone who's worked front of house in the South have had this experience. Like, you know, the fillet mignon or the, you know.
Quesadillas?
Quesadillas.
I love them quesadillas.
Actually, here's one of my favorite ones is I worked with a guy who had previously worked with someone who was a native Spanish speaker and spoke English as a second language and pronounced the fried chicken place as bojangles.
Oh.
Isn't that the best?
It took me a second.
I love it.
Bojangles.
Bojangles. And now that's all I call it.
We had the executive chef of Bojangles in here talking about their chicken sandwich.
Legit? I love Bojangles. Legit country.
Do you have a favorite fast food restaurant, Carter? We're just jumping right in here, man.
We usually save this type of chatter for the end, but here we go.
Yeah.
Fast food, just growing up here in the South, Nashville, New Orleans trips, probably Crystal.
Okay. There you go.
Late night.
Late night.
Gets it done.
Are you a drinker?
I dabble.
If you've been to the infamous Crystal in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, you've dabbled.
Yeah. That's the kind of since I haven't had Crystal since I quit drinking. It's amazing.
There you go.
The things that go away when you stop drinking, like Crystal and White Castle, they just don't materialize anymore. No.
The crystal in the white.
No, and none of it. Sorry, Carter. Welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio. Formally, we like to jump right in sometimes. Man, it's good to have you here. You've been a busy guy.
I have. A lot of projects happening in the last year for sure.
Well, tell us about what's going on with you right now. Give us the update on your life.
So I put out my first book, The Holland Hill Cookbook, in October of 22.
There's no camera, but I'm holding it up right now as if there is. We'll take a picture of it. So follow us on Instagram. We'll find it.
And it's an homage to my grandmother. She herself wrote 19 books. It's a collection of her recipes and my own. But tells her whole life story throughout it.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your grandmother. For listeners who may not be familiar with your family, you have quite the culinary history in this area.
So her name was Phyla Ha. She came over, her family, from Switzerland in the early 1900s and did a lot for especially a woman in the 40s and 50s while she was studying as a full-time student during the week at Vanderbilt Peabody College. She flew on the weekends as one of the first international stewardesses and would waltz in the back doors of hotels like the Savoy and other places in Copenhagen, Paris, and ask, or rather demand, to learn. And they let her. She went on that way to design the first in-flight menu for airlines. That was for American in 1949.
Wow.
From there, hosted one of the very first cooking shows with people like Duncan Hines, Johnny and June coming on, cooking with her. Wow. And hosted the United Nations when they came to Nashville in 76.
That's incredible.
That's very, very cool. Sounds like she was kind of like the local Julia Child almost.
She was. I think Jim Myers, who I think may have been on here before me.
He's a good friend.
Likes to say she was the grand dame of food.
The Grand Dame of Food.
For Tennessee.
There's even an award named after her.
There is the
Phyla Ha Awards.
It is. So the Phylas? Was put together through So Good Foundation. It goes back to kind of helping Nashville address food insecurity and hunger issues.
What are those awards? It's for like a philanthropy award? Or
it is. So different organizations like Nashville Food Project has been a big part of it, among others, and it started, I think, 4 years ago, and COVID derailed everything a little bit, but it started to kind of gain some speed again.
So do you feel like growing up, your destiny was kind of already laid out for you coming up in this culinary family?
I definitely grew up in love with cooking and around it. It was when I was at Ole Miss, where the Southern Foodways Alliance is headquartered, I triple majored in all but hospitality and food. And then when she got sick, it's kind of when I decided I wanted to throw everything else away and jump into the culinary world.
What were you previously studying?
PR and marketing.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like that aligns pretty well with, you know, you're a restaurant owner. Yeah. You got to have those skills too, right?
Absolutely.
Well, what was it like? Did you spend a lot of time with her as a grandson? Because I remember growing up vividly with my grandmother making cinnamon rolls, and she made this roast, and she made this chicken with rice that the most comforting food on the planet. She also had this big peach tree in the backyard, and she would just cut up peaches for me every night with like ice cream. And like, I have such vivid memories of eating and cooking with my grandmother. But my grandmother was a home cook and, you know, I mean, just a standard grandmother. She wasn't Phyla Ha. So, I mean, what was it like for you? Do you have those vivid memories of her growing up?
I absolutely do. Cooked with her from a very young age. And at one point, you know, really wanted to learn from her. And I was telling someone recently, it wasn't cooking with Granny in the kitchen. She was, you know, she was my instructor. And if I slacked off, she'd get on me pretty good.
So you were like the sous chef.
Right. And Holland Hill itself has a bed and breakfast vibe, but I mean, Sleep 60, the original in Clarksville, and then now the one in Jolton. So as a young kid, when your parents got tired of you going to stay at a resort of sorts, was definitely always fun.
I can imagine.
Plenty of food to eat, plenty of shenanigans to get into.
So the Holland Hill is like, I didn't know, like it's an actual resort, like it's like a bed and breakfast?
It is. So it's wedding venue, retreat center,
Okay.
Dining by appointment.
And so that was with your grandmother dead. And then you, is it still is around running? Did you run it for a while? Like, what's going on there?
I took it over in 2016 and ran it up until last year. So I'm still basically creating all the menus and working with clients for big events like weddings and retreats. And have, with Streetcar opening, stopped doing dining by appointment.
So tell us about Streetcar. You guys opened in February?
We did. So we opened in West Nashville on Charlotte. That little strip there has a lot of eclecticism, but I think it was time for a little bit of a facelift.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was one of the oldest groceries in West Nashville. My partners, when they got the building, ripped open a bunch of plaster, drop ceilings, and found a 100-year-old brick and a mural as well.
Oh, wow.
So what was the genesis of this project? Were you actively looking for a restaurant space? Did someone approach you and say, hey, we have a space, we're looking for a chef? How did this all come to be?
So I was actively wanting to open a brick and mortar of my own, kind of in the gastropub realm. And one of my oldest friends, we've been friends since fifth grade, I would say, he had just joined this commercial development group and acquired these buildings, and they wanted to do something. They weren't sure exactly what. And they started pitching around a grab and go or something like that and started talking to me. And I said, well, I think I might want to do it with you. Maybe not a grab and go, but if it could be something a little more elevated. And then it kind of took flight and quickly turned into a tap room and beer garden.
I love a good beer garden. Just the vibe at a really good beer garden is like one of my favorite things. What was your inspiration behind it? I mean, obviously it's a departure, it's a little bit of departure from Holland Hill.
A little bit of a departure, but definitely tying in my roots, my German heritage as well as Southern heritage. So the menu, it's all locally sourced ingredients, but some fun takes on German dishes as well as Southern dishes too.
Do you do like spätzle and...
So we have, it's actually in my cookbook, but Bratkartoffeln is one of our more popular dishes. And it's essentially like your loaded hash browns from Waffle House, but it's a German dish. So it's fried potatoes with like a Welsh rarebit cheese sauce, speckwurfel, bacon bits, caramelized onions, peppers.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Looking up the ingredients now for it, I'm like, the Bratkartoffeln. Did you say dolphin?
I don't think you said that correctly.
Is there dolphin in there? What is this?
No dolphin.
Oh, pimento cheese squash au gratin.
Yes, please.
So now I'm looking through the cookbook, and I'm going to stop doing that because I will get completely engrossed. Looks amazing. The food looks amazing.
Thank you.
And I have not been to Streetcar yet, but I really want to go.
So how's everything been over there for you guys since opening?
It's been great. I mean, we're, you know, learning every week, just about, I think, where we want to be. And the first week was absolute insanity. We had brisket on the menu originally and just constantly were selling out of it. We have a 6,500-pound smoker that really steers the bulk of the menu, but if we sold out a brisket at 9 p.m. on Friday to have it at 11 on Saturday, I was spending the night. So we did that a few times and then decided it would just be a special.
That's smart.
It's a lot. I mean, you get cooking brisket takes like 12 hours.
Right.
How big is your spot there? How many seats do you guys have?
We seat 45 inside and 75 outside.
Oh, wow. So you guys have a big outdoor space.
We do. So we're definitely a weather-dependent place. We might tenant next year in the winter, and we've also started to host a good number of private parties and functions, too.
That's awesome. Good for you guys.
I love it. Well, this is exciting stuff, man. I mean, you go from, I'm just kind of, we're somewhat limited on time today, and we're trying to get all of it in as quick as possible. I don't know where to go. I want to go back to more Phyla stories because I feel like she's so influential and such a major part of your life. And then I kind of want to see how that ties into your decision making today. And is there a side of you that wants to get away from that? I mean, because you grew up with that being this attached to who you are. Do you feel like you want to, you know, kind of move away from it and be your own?
There's definitely that a sense of wanting to do my own thing, create my own identity. However, she was remarkable, and that's not something I want to distance myself from.
Sure.
But everything she taught me is definitely instilled in what I do at Hole & Till and at Streetcar. I had tons of wild stories growing up with her, such as stealing the top of a wedding cake that she had done. And I was when I was probably 4 years old, took it off the top of the cake and was just hiding under a table at a wedding. And so that's one instance. We like to have fun with our food. I've always said we put the ha in hospitality.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
That is cute.
Besides your grandmother, any of your other family members in the biz?
So my father, he's mainly in residential real estate. However, Phyla was his mother, so he knows his way around the kitchen for sure and has helped with Hall & Till as well. My brother's in New York in real estate, and my younger sister in real estate here in Nashville. So it's kind of me carrying her torch.
Yeah, you're carrying the torch for the family. I love that.
Wow. How's the book done? You sold a lot of copies of the book?
Yeah, it's been doing great. Kind of itching to write another, honestly. I've talked to several people, and then in the last 2 weeks been like, what am I doing? There's no way I can write a book right now with Streetcar. But
what's the process like of writing a book? Like, how does this even begin? Was it your idea? Did somebody approach you and say, hey, you should write a book with your grandmother's recipes? Or were you like, hey, I want to write a book with the recipes? What's your step one?
So when I was studying abroad in school, I found myself kind of drawing parallels from when my grandmother traveled as a stewardess back in the 40s. And she was sick with cancer back home. I was abroad and just loving all these cuisines from other countries in the same way she did when she traveled. And that's when the book started. And I really wrote a 3-part book, more of a novel that was family fiction food. So it was her biography, a full-length fictional novel inspired by a Southern boy drawing parallels and contrasts from the U.S. South to Asia, Africa, and other places, and then recipes in the back. And I shopped that around and quickly learned that's more than one book. And so we honed in on just her biography and recipes.
When you say you shopped it, how do you even know how to shop a book? Did you just Google how do you shop a book?
I just kind of winged it. I didn't know really what I was doing, but just went around, said I have a book, and eventually it caught with a few people.
I didn't know that was the process.
It's probably not.
You made it up.
No, I'm fascinated by these things because, like, we're all aware there are these things called books, but I don't know, like, how you get one done. I don't know how you, like, how long does it take for you to write it?
For the most part, had written it in its entirety over 2 years. Then once I got a publishing deal, it was a lot of editing. And
do they edit for you?
So Aaron Byers Murray was my editor on the book.
Okay,
that was a godsend. She was great, and
she's James Beard award-winning cookbook author. Yeah,
and so she was amazing to have in my corner on it. Lisa Donovan as well wrote the foreword, so great
Amazing.
People to work with.
Amazing. That'll definitely give you a leg up. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I can't wait to read it. Are you? Was this for us to look at, or are you donating this to the show?
Is it a gift? To the show, yep.
Yes!
Oh, awesome. I'm excited to look through that.
It is on.
So I want to go back to Streetcar a little bit. I'm you know, very interested in everything that's going on over there. What are some of the challenges that you maybe didn't anticipate that you guys feel like have come up since you opened?
Like everyone in Nashville, I think staffing is definitely a huge challenge. I've been fortunate to get some very strong people who have left pretty stable, more corporate jobs to come be a part of something fun. Mm-hmm. Kind of a neighborhood vibe is what we wanted to do. However, you know, just getting a sturdy rotation of bartender servers, people who aren't going to call out, that's the struggle.
I think we all can feel that.
Certainly one day or another. I mean, you have to have so many people too.
Right. And then the other would be, we started the menu, I think, with 8 different doughs on it. And it's a small, very small kitchen, and quickly learned that was not possible to do. I think we had bagel dough, Danish dough, croissant dough, brioche dough, Kaiser rolls. And
now you buy all that from Charpier's Bakery?
We still do some dough in house. We make our brioche slider buns, but Leidenheimer, actually, out of New Orleans. So we have some kind of Tennessee takes on po' boys. And one of my good friends from Ole Miss family has Leidenheimer, which is, to me, the best French bread you can get for a po' boy.
And they're out of New Orleans, so you're getting it.
That's correct.
Chipped in.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Well, I love our local bakeries, and Sharpay is a supporter of the show. So, you know, they're right down the street.
They're great.
They're right down the street from you too.
Bare Bones, my favorite, and they definitely give them some support for sure.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Stuff. And we're going to take a quick break to hear a few words from our sponsors. We are so excited to welcome a new sponsor to Nashville Restaurant Radio, Volunteer Welding Gas and Supply. Volunteer Welding Beverage Carbonation began serving bulk CO2 in beverages systems in 1976. They are a service-oriented company that is passionate about and dedicated to beverage-only gases. How does a gas company provide service? Well, you either know or you don't know until it's too late. And they use telemetry to monitor your system. Let's say that you're in the middle of a busy lunch, and then you realize, hey, there's no carbonation in our Coke. This is a problem. What do? You call an 800 number, be put on hold, to be told that maybe sometime in the next 24 hours, somebody will get out to you? Well, that's where the telemetry works. Volunteer Welding is monitoring your tank for that. If it gets low or there's a leak, they're gonna let you know beforehand. Imagine that call before lunch, so you never have an 86 situation when you definitely don't need that. Want to learn more? Give David Perry a call at 615-306-7455 or email him at dperry@volunteerwelding.com.
Super excited today to talk to you about Corson
Fire &
Security. The owner,
Ron met with a bunch of chefs in Louisville
and my guy Kevin Rose. If you do not have a guy...
What do you,
you
want?
Need one. And Kevin,
and the chefs,
mine,
they
let
responded
me tell you
emphatically.
What he does for me.
We want deliveries on Sunday.
Systems,
we want to be able to
alarms,
split any
my
item
fire extinguishers.
That
that's a big
we
one.
Want
fire extinguishers. All of the things that I have in my building. Let me tell
like
you, they do fire alarm
served.
Systems, kitchen
so
fire
you know what
suppression
he did?
Systems,
something crazy.
Security, monitoring, communications, all of my new cameras.
So what chefs want is not only a company that's delivering fresh produce,
they have been so instrumental in helping me get completely ready to go for this new restaurant.
Specialty items.
It's all because I got a guy.
When
gourmet,
something
comes up, I
all
know
of that,
who to
7 days
call.
A week.
That guy is Kevin
they also
Rose.
Offer 24/7
He's over at
customer
Fire and Security.
Support.
He is the restaurant specialist.
You want to call?
Specialist.
You want to text? You want to email? You can talk to somebody 24/7.
You to be
get your delivery
you
7 days
his
a week.
Dial.
And
if you ever have an issue,
selection
that's
of products.
When you need him. Most
that
of the time you don't.
Is
but
what
man,
chefs
you
want.
Do, you really
if
do.
If you ever wonder why do they call
tell
it that?
Number right now, his
that's
cell phone number is
check him out. What chefs want?
974-2932. And you might not need him right now, but the next time that fire marshal walks in or you need something done, think in your brain, I got a guy. It's Kevin over at Corson.
What are your thoughts and feelings about the neighborhood that you're in? You know, I talk a lot on the show about the Nations and how, you know, kind of we're still hoping to get kind of some more activity in the area. I love that you're just, you know, down the street, right around the corner, bringing some more, you know, another great destination to our neighborhood. How do you feel about the neighborhood you're in and, you know, kind of where do you see it going in the next few years?
I love the neighborhood we're in. I grew up not too far from the Nations and actually lived in the Nations myself about 3 years ago.
Nice.
I was one of the people who had an old home. It's now too tall and skinnies, but it's great. I love the growth and kind of the melting pot of different people coming to the city. And definitely I feel like it's a very much so a startup neighborhood, young families and young professionals, which is perfect for our concept. But we love to be a part of it, especially with the farmer's market right across the street from us. And that's my favorite market, I would say, in the city.
I agree. It's a really, really great market.
It's a really good one.
Yeah. What has the reception from the neighborhood been for you guys? You feel like neighbors are being great about supporting you? And
it's been great from people who live in the neighborhoods to other business owners. We've gotten a lot of support and really embraced it.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Yeah, it is a great neighborhood. I'm really hoping that in the next year we'll continue to see this trend of like new concepts opening and new concepts coming to the neighborhood. Is there anything in particular that you'd love to see come over to our side of town? Any existing or new concept?
Not off the top of my head. I'd love if a great Asian restaurant opened in West Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's several who have recently, but kind of in our specific corridor,
a little closer to us. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you know what, I agree with you. I know that like Otaku and Punk Rock right. are down Charlotte, but it is a little different, kind of like in our specific little corner of kind of like that part of Charlotte in the nations. It's set away a little bit.
Right. Sylvan Supply right? is kind of its own entity over there.
It really is. I think people tend to lump us together, but we don't always have that same cross traffic as they do. Have you been over to Punk Walk yet or Otaku West?
I haven't been to Otaku West, but definitely know Otaku. I have been to Punk Walk several times.
Oh, nice. I'm still trying to get over there. Have you been, Brandon?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Oh, I'm sorry. No?
No, but I love Clay Greenberg.
And yeah, we should get those guys on the show.
We had them on. I had the original chef on the show. Before they even opened, we had their chef on the show. And then I think he left. And now it's somebody different.
Yeah, that Sylvan Supply is a happening part of town.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. What's where we met to kind of discuss doing this whole thing, isn't it?
You know what? It sure is. We met at Barista Parlor. I totally forgot about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Here we are. So you're a dad.
I am a dad of a 15-month-old girl and a boy on the way now.
Wow, congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you. And a boy on the way. So you're going to have one of each. Is that going to be it, or are you going for like five?
Definitely not five. But we might be good with two.
Maybe good with two? So
when does your son do?
He is due in November.
I thought you said, what does your son do?
That's like, what I thought, too.
He's just hanging out right now.
Yeah, he's not doing anything. I mean, he's growing. That's what he's doing.
When?
That is amazing. So Father's Day, is that a big holiday for you? Like, we had this discussion earlier today, and I want to jump in, because this episode is recorded before Father's Day, but it's going to come out after Father's Day. So let's pretend we just had an awesome Father's Day the other day. What is a perfect Father's Day for you?
A perfect Father's Day for me would probably involve some red meat, a steak, and just family time.
There you go.
If I get a chance to go fishing, that'd be great. But
Brandon also said fishing.
Yeah. I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what a great Father's Day would look like. Probably spending time with the kids, kind of spending time with the family, or going fishing. Just... It's funny because like I could do either. Like I love spending time with the kids, but also I never just get to be alone. I'm like, I don't know, getting on a kayak and just going fishing and not having anybody around me going, come on, what are you doing? Like, I just want to do what I want to do for an hour. Like that's all
I
want to do.
Well, and I think it's maybe a little different when your kids are a little older and can talk back to you versus a 15-month-old who's still very sweet and sleeping a lot and... All of that,
mine are still very sweet.
Well, I'm not to imply that yours are not talk back. Sweet, but, you know. How about some favorite spots in town? Where do you like to go when you do have some free time?
So over in our streetcar's neck of the woods, Bare Bones Butcher has always been a great lunch spot for me. I just love kind of what they're doing with the whole animal butchery, great sandwiches. Our knockwurst, so we do a currywurst dish at Streetcar. We call it the Berliner barbecue plate. So it was inspired by Rendezvous in Memphis, where they have like a sausage cheese plate.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we do a Memphis dry rubbed buttermilk cheddar with currywurst and house pickles. And
that
so our
amazing.
The currywurst, we actually use a knockwurst from Bare Bones that they make for us.
And you're open for lunch?
We are.
7 days a week?
We are.
Wow. And do you guys do a weekend brunch also?
So we right now open at 11, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
So. Nice. I think we're done with the interviews. I think I'm going to go eat there on the way home today. I'm going to go eat lunch there today.
I'd love it.
Are you going to be there today?
I will be.
I'm going incognito. You have to charge me. You cannot give me anything, okay? Serious. We'll I'm going to come in and eat. Just you have to charge me. You can't. Don't give me anything.
Maybe I'll come with you.
You want to go? You're right over there, aren't you?
I got to go to the restaurant right after this. So let's see how the day shapes up. Ooh. Maybe we'll both see you in a little bit.
That sounds great.
I want to try everything you just talked about.
I know. It
like,
great.
I'm like, all this food. And I love German food. My sister lived in Germany for like 14 years. So I get to go visit her a few times and meat, potatoes, and like beer.
Can't go wrong.
Hell yeah. And I was just in Cincinnati this past weekend, and they have a Hofbrauhaus there. Are you familiar with the Hofbrauhaus?
I am, yeah.
So they do the gigantic beers. They have this huge beer garden. I went there on my bachelor party to Cincinnati at the Hofbrau, and my brother had to wear full lederhosen. So we went to the Reds game, and I was in full lederhosen. Then we went to the Hofbrau afterwards in full lederhosen, and it was like the best night of my life.
Where does one acquire lederhosen?
Amazon.
Oh, okay.
But 20 years ago when I did this, I think they had to like rent it like at a costume shop. I think they went to like a – they were like, we have a 6'6" dude who's going to be wearing full lederhosen to a baseball game. We need to – and so they had it somehow. And I had the full high socks and the whole thing. And then after – he had a table reserved for us. It was a Saturday night. At like we got to the thing at like 11 o'clock at night to the Hofbrau. They had a table right in the middle of the entire place. Polka band playing, gigantic beers swinging around. And I took pictures with like 1,000 bachelorettes.
That's awesome. Do you guys have plans for Oktoberfest? Are you guys planning on doing something in the fall?
We're definitely going to do something big for it, but nice. We haven't dove in too far.
Okay. We'll stay tuned for that.
Now, would you do Oktoberfest in September or October?
I think we'd do it in September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in September.
Right.
The actual Oktoberfest is in September. I didn't know if it was like a... Because, again, in America, we have to do, like, outside of Lexington, there's a city called Versailles. But if you ask anybody in Kentucky, it is Versailles, and they will fight you.
It's where Jackson Brittany got married.
In Versailles?
In Versailles.
Yeah, because it's not Versailles.
It's like Lafayette, Lafayette.
We could do this all day. Because the South is like, hell no, we're going to say it the way I want to say it. It's Hatch.
That's right.
It's Hatch sauce. It's Hatch sauce. It's Hatch land. Do you get people that are defiant against it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Why die on that field? Like, just cool. I love it. All right. What do you want to talk about, man? What you're coming in, what's the question you really want me to ask you? Because you're like dying to talk about it.
Oh, I'm on the spot now. It's been a lot of good questions so far. I guess maybe what would be next for Streetcar?
What's next for Streetcar, Carter?
That's a great question.
So we on the other side of the wall of our restaurant is another building that essentially we work out of right now. But I would say within the year, we definitely plan to expand either Streetcar or another concept into that building.
That's so exciting. What do you really? Have some? Can you give us some clues about what the other concept might be if that's the direction you go?
We've toyed around with somewhat of a mercantile or bakery concept. But then again, there's been such a huge demand for private parties and events that we might create somewhat of an event space there.
Mm. I think you do like a Holland Hill event space.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you could, why not?
True.
You've got the history and people, where are the two Holland Hills?
So the original opened in Clarksville, Tennessee, and closed in 2001. And the current, which opened in 76, is in Jolton, which is Davidson County, about 20 minutes north.
Okay. So it's not too far away. But I was thinking if you had a middle, like right in Nashville version right. of people could go to without having to go to Jolton, it was like, hey, if you want to do a smaller event and still have the Holland Hill kind of a vibe to it.
And we could bus everyone there to stay.
Oh.
See? That's very cool.
Got all of that stuff going on there. Have you always been like an entrepreneur? I mean, are you like a visionary? Do you just constantly think about the future or you think about like what's happening right now?
I'm definitely somewhat of a dreamer. They don't always come to fruition, but I like to think big.
What's your sign?
Leo.
Do you know about signs, Brandon?
I know nothing about signs.
Okay. I don't either.
But somebody out there is going, I wonder what his sign is. I'd like to ask the question for the listeners because like, I knew he was a Leo. My wife's a Leo and my oldest son is a Leo. What are you?
I'm Scorpio.
I would say, I think you're a Scorpio.
I am 100% Scorpio.
Does that mean you're going to kill us all? What does that mean?
Stay tuned.
I'm a Pisces, so nobody asked. I'll volunteer that. Do you know what your Enneagram is?
I do not.
You still haven't done yours, have you?
I don't even know what that is.
Stay tuned. We're going to do an Enneagram show where we talk about our Enneagrams because I'm curious. It's really fascinating. You got to do Tony's too and the whole thing.
Okay.
And let's figure out what our Enneagram. I'm an Enneagram 8. Means nothing. It blank stares. Never mind. Everybody out there listening is like, oh, that makes so much sense. He's an 8. What wing are you? I don't know what wing I am, but I'm an 8. My wife is a 6.
It's all Greek to me.
Mm-hmm. It's what it is. All right, Carter. So you are going to be get the new. Eventually, one day you have more space there that you could potentially grow on with that. You have a new son on the way. You got a lot of things happening, man. You're excited about 2023 and 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, it's been a great last year and excited to do much more in the years to come.
I love it. Caroline, you got anything else for Carter?
I don't know.
Well, we had kind of a short amount of time today. Yeah. We really wanted to get you in here. I do
have more, but I'm concerned that, you know, I don't want to go over.
Yeah, we are over. So, Carter, it's a pleasure to have you here. We do have one final thing for you. Gordon Food Service, they sponsor us. They're our title sponsor. We love them. Hopefully you use Gordon Food Service.
We have, yeah.
Good. Okay, well, that's a start. Excellent. We do the final thought, the Gordon Food Service final thought. So what happens here is you get to take us out of the show. Whatever you want to say, as long as you want to say it, final thought style, the mic is yours. Take your time. Go.
All right. Final thought. When you come to Streetcar, lots of good things on the menus, but when you get the wings, it's hot. It's not hatched.
I love it. Thank you so much. Carter Ha.
Thank you, Carter.
Thank y'all.
Great to see you today.
Thank you so much to Carter Ha for joining us here on Nashville Restaurant Radio. Again, stay tuned. Next week, we will have the one and only Tandy Wilson on the show. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful 4th of July. We appreciate everything you guys do for us out here. And we hope that through all the fireworks and everything that you guys stay safe. We love you guys. Bye.